Hello, and welcome to the first episode of We Work Europe, the podcast from ESA, the European Centre for Workers' Questions. In this podcast, we'll talk about the future of Europe in its social dimensions and about workers' rights. We will travel with you right across the continent to talk to people who do an awesome job when it comes to social matters. In the first episode, we fly to Northwest England. We'll talk about the huge challenges workers' organisations have to face due to Brexit and how workers' rights in the UK are suffering under the consequences. We Work Europe, the podcast of the European Centre for Workers' Questions.
We're looking at now is used to be a Woolworths department store, and unfortunately it was that went out of business a few years ago, and a private landlord took it over.
This is Dave Flanagan in front of a house in the centre of Blackpool, England. It's the end of February. Although the sun's shining, gusts of wind are sweeping across the city at 120 kilometres an hour. Dave and his family live in Blackpool. He works at St Anthony's Centre, an organisation dedicated to counselling and helping people who are suffering from unemployment, for instance.
One of the big problems we have in Blackpool is landlords sacked with empty properties. So the council are trying to do things at the moment to reclaim those properties. But this one's sort of stuck in an argument locally at the moment, as the current landlord wants it to be a car park, wants to knock it down. But there are various bits of red tape that prevent it from being knocking down. One of them is there are bats resident in there, so they have to wait till spring at least anyway before they can even demolish it.
But this house is not the only abandoned one. There are dozens like it in this street and the surrounding area. We're just 50 metres away from the promenade, where about 18 million tourists enjoy the seaside in the summer, with facilities including roller coasters, theme parks, cinemas and concert halls. Blackpool is located 80 kilometres north of Manchester and is one of the most popular places to visit in England during the summer. In the 19th century, it became a leisure and tourism hotspot for the country's wealthy high society. Blackpool enjoyed a phase of prosperity that was closely linked to the state of industry in northwest England. The most famous building, the 159-metre Blackpool Tower, which opened in 1894, is a witness to that splendour. With Manchester's industry declining in recent decades, the Victorian charm has vanished from most parts of Blackpool. Now, in 2022, at the end of February, things look totally different. There are no tourists in winter, which means many people who live here have almost no income for 6 months, compared to unsustainable mass tourism in the summer, with precarious working conditions.
30% of the children living in Blackpool live in poverty, under the government's own definition of poverty. 10% of the working families in Blackpool are in receipt of social security. That gives you some indication of the level of demand and the challenges that we face here in Blackpool. And that's why we chose to be here and place ourselves in the heart of the community.
St Anthony's Centre opened the doors at its Blackpool site around a year ago. Its central contact point is in Manchester, where St Anthony's has existed since the 1980s. The organisation is a member of the ESA network and aims to help people in deprived areas. There is a real need for this here in Blackpool, which comes out top in almost any ranking that looks at social problems and deprivation. Most jobs in Blackpool are temporary, as employment is closely linked to tourism.
There are technically more people in employment, but the way I see that, there are more people in insecure employment. And it's that secure employment that we continue to battle with here in Blackpool and finding those industries that have a 12-month-a-year operation that can provide those real opportunities. There are small pockets of opportunities. We have a small airport, which it's not a passenger airport anymore, but there are some commercial operations working from there. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel.
St Anthony's Centre, the promenade, the local tramway and investment in regional development have something in common.
There has been huge investment in the last decade, particularly from European funding, regional development funds, to help improve the town. And that's come in the form of a new tram system, partly funded through the European funding programmes. There was the new sea defences in Blackpool. They've come on, that's brightened up and made the promenade more accessible to different groups. There has been some major investment gone into some of the main tourist attractions in the town, which again aims to bring more people in. That's the positive side of it.
The negative side is that now, after Brexit, there is no adequate replacement for the funds invested by the EU. This also goes for St Anthony's education work, which relied on the European Social Fund for decades.
People come here, we have an open door here, so people can just knock on the door and then they'll receive help there. We also receive referrals from other charities and other community organisations locally, so they send people to us for assistance. We work with the NHS teams, so particularly mental health support teams. We work with the local council, who also send people over to us. So there is a whole array of referral points, really. And then obviously we have the usual social media routes where we promote the work that we do and we invite people to come through the door as well.
Dave and his teams believe that to tackle unemployment in a town and to provide decent labour, you need to train its people and give them qualifications. But, like the promenade, you need strong financial support for this capacity building. The EU provided a great deal of it. At the moment, it doesn't look like there will be an adequate replacement.
I'm afraid the free market mantra of Maggie Thatcher's days is still strong in a number of sectors. And whilst we have seen, and particularly under the European partnership, the EU, the good rights that employees were given, our big fear now is we may well see the unravelling of that.
This is Kevin Flanagan, Dave's father. He's the founder of the St Anthony's Centre and works from Trafford Park in Manchester. Trafford Park is a symbolic place as a centre for workers' education. You could call the area the cradle of the Industrial Revolution. It was the first genuinely planned industrial site and was built here after the construction in the late 19th century of the Manchester Ship Canal, which linked the city to the Atlantic Ocean. The Industrial Revolution, especially the development of the cotton industry, gave Manchester the nickname Cottonopolis and brought the industrial magnates incredible wealth. Eventually, workers and trade unions also benefited from that. Manchester and its surrounding areas are very proud of this workers' heritage and the trade union movement. St Anthony's Centre for Work and Education is in an old school building which dates back to the 19th century. It's at the heart of Trafford Park. Kevin knows every inch of the area. He used to work in a brewery, but got into trade unionism and workers' rights more than 40 years ago. Now, aged 68, he's not just the director of St Anthony's, but also president of the commercial branch of the GMB Union, one of England's biggest trade unions.
This is GK Shep. They have pallets going all over the world.
Just a stone's throw away from the centre, some tents are set up on the side of the road in front of a factory. A little campfire is glowing in a fire basket. Wooden pallets from the warehouse are piled up as burning material. Around 10 men are sitting in the middle of a gazebo drinking tea on this chilly afternoon.
So how's it going?
Yeah,
good, all right.
We were meeting last week and another meeting tomorrow now.
You meet tomorrow?
Yeah.
It's okay.
He offered us more last week. We still said not happy with it.
Yeah, are you all hopeful?
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon, yeah.
Well, right. From 2%.
We're there and they're there. Yeah. Just got to reach that. Pretty much there, so.
These men have been on strike for 12 weeks. They're fighting for a wage rise. Like Kevin, they're also part of a trade union. However, trade unions are by no means as powerful as they used to be. This is due to flexibilisation and anti-union policies of recent decades and the change of company structures in Trafford Park.
I mean, at its peak, you would have, I would argue, round about 70 to 80% of the workforce would be in some sort of trade union. This was in the trade union heydays. Now, because you have much smaller companies, my own branch, for instance, will have a distribution of, you know, one or two members in a company which only employs 30 to 40 people. Even in the larger companies, what the impact for the worker is, that the security, the transport and distribution may well now be taken care of by another sub-company, not the main employer.
The situation for workers has got even worse since Brexit. European labour laws don't count anymore. Salaries fail to keep up with inflation or have even declined. Secure and decent employment is falling further and further behind. And although there are some regulations, the labour authorities don't prosecute enough.
There is still not an adequate regime of enforcement. So we're still seeing in the workplace a reduction of the number of workplace inspectors. Minimum wage, same, very, very little enforcement of the regulation, even when people are caught out, naming and shaming a few. But we don't see any big cases going to court. And also for others in terms of employment tribunals, they have attempted to restrict the ability to have an employment tribunal. If you don't take a complaint within 3 months, you can't take one, basically.
Blackpool and Manchester show how the value of labour is declining steadily in the country that was the origin of workers as we know them. To some extent, it is already causing areas of massive deprivation and poverty. And, in Kevin's opinion, the current government is deliberately undermining social security. Organisations such as St Anthony's Centre try to battle that with education and empowerment. In financial terms, they rely on the UK's Shared Prosperity Fund, which is supposed to replace European social funding. But many of the details remain unclear, says Paul Callaghan. He's in charge of finances and funding at the centre, and he's rather pessimistic.
We fear that it's going to be a very top-down approach, and there's not going to be much opportunity for us as a smaller organisation to be heavily involved in the decisions of how that funding will be used. We're also concerned that we may not be able to access those funds directly. And again, the biggest concern is that the people and skills element of that funding will not arrive until 2 years from now. So while the first 2 years will focus on capital infrastructure and developments, new buildings, we are concerned that the complementary skills and people development training that's required to help people get those jobs won't be there.
It's a vicious circle. The future of workers in the UK remains insecure, and Brexit has had a tremendous impact on these developments. To learn more about the work of St Anthony's Centre, visit stanthonyscentre.org.uk or www.esa.org. Also, to see what the centre, Dave, Kevin and Paul look like, please read the article in the first 2022 issue of the ESA magazine. If you like We Work Europe, do give us a 5-star rating and don't forget to subscribe. Also, if you have any interesting topics or feedback for us, just contact esa@esa.org. We Work Europe is the podcast from ESA, the European Centre for Workers' Questions, which receives financial support from the European Union. This podcast was narrated by me, Rebecca Sharp. Script and production by Escucha, Audio Identity.